Do you regret your Star Cruiser voyage? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after, from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And it's another Star Cruiser episode. But this one's different.
Yeah.
Typically, we have had some guests on to talk about Star Cruiser, but we've shared our opinions on our voyages that we've been fortunate enough to go on, but there are hundreds, thousands of people that have gone on this, and I admin a couple of the Star Cruiser groups on Facebook, and we thought, you know what? We should ask, what are your regrets? What is it that you did on your Star Cruiser voyage that you wish you hadn't done?
Oh, that sounded like a loaded question right there.
And you know what? It overwhelmingly, it was not like, I spent too much money or anything like that, or the sequel trilogies. It was all like, I really wish I had done this small tweak to make a bigger impact on my voyage.
That's cool.
Positive regrets. Is that a thing?
I mean, yeah.
Constructive criticism, maybe. I don't know what the right word for it, but it was.
This could be good information for the ins and outs to know.
Exactly. Right? So if you've never been on Star Cruiser before, we're going to walk through some of the comments that we got and see what you could maybe do to not have these regrets for your Star Cruiser voyage.
We'll try to give our professional advice.
Whew. So before you even get to Star Cruiser, you have to get to the terminal in Florida. And there's a couple of things that go along with that. So Sunny Scott says, her biggest regret was jet lag. They were supposed to arrive one day early, got stuck in Atlanta, and arrived very late the night before. And then Haley Motor says, I would have done Star Cruiser at the beginning of the trip instead of the middle because I was already tired by the time we got to Star Cruiser. I also would not go to a park on the day we got off. I was so tired we didn't spend much time there. So getting to Florida, one, yes, treat it like a cruise, arrive a day before. But if you're coming from like multiple time zones away, make sure your body has time to adjust. Because some of the comments too were like, they regret sleeping. So if you're jet lagged already, like, just make sure that you're prepared, as prepared as possible to step into Star Cruiser.
Well, I mean, I think that's like, there's the two regrets were more time before and more time after. Mm. And it's kind of that delicate balance, because when we went the first time, it was no time before and no time after.
Yeah.
So it was nonstop. This last time we went, we kind of baked in, you know, a couple days at Disney.
Right.
And for us, it felt like it was definitely getting acclimated to the land, being ready for it. We knew that it was going to be hot and, you know, adjusted accordingly. But we went in there kind of relaxed. But I almost think next time I want time afterwards, being able to just like relax, because it was like after the trip, after Star Cruiser, it was almost back to work immediately.
Right.
And I think that was more stressful because it was like there was not that ramping down.
Right.
It was just, you know, we had that ramp up, but not that ramp down.
That's a good point. And I think we're very fortunate in that we go to the Disney parks fairly regularly. So when we did park days before, we were just kind of hanging out, taking our time, you know, easy mornings, early evenings. Like, we didn't fill our park days from rope drop to fireworks. And some people do that because it's their first time going to Disney World.
Yeah.
To go to Star Cruiser to see the parks. They're like, well, while I'm here, that's how we got roped into this whole thing, is we're like, well, while we're in Orlando, let's go check out the Disney parks. And we went hard that first trip.
Yeah.
So I think it's really difficult to try to put Star Cruiser with a Disney vacation, but you want to get the most out of your time there.
Yeah. And I think that's like part of it, where there's people don't get to go as often as others.
Right.
So whenever you do get to go, you want to be efficient with your time. You want to make sure you get the most out of your time. And sometimes that's like at the expense of your, you know, your sanity,
your body.
And it's just like, it's a hard thing to do, because you don't want any of that time to go wasted. But at the same time, if you push yourself too much, you end up not enjoying, you know, some of that time.
Yeah. But I would say, generally speaking, if you are going to do Star Cruiser and you're going to do park days, I would recommend arrive a day early, at least a day early, get your body settled from travel, do Star Cruiser, maybe don't do a park day the day you disembark, and then do your park days after the fact. But just like, take it easy. Don't try to cram everything in. Just go with the flow, if you will.
Yeah, I would agree. The fly-in day, the day before, not even make it that a park day, but make it a relax, you know, go to the resort bar, go have a drink, hang out, kind of get your mind ready, because you're going to have like two straight days of just like intense story and everything. And then as far as after, I think just the ramp down, because you're not just like going back to real life, would be nice. And then you could kind of just base that off on how much energy you have left. You could just like expend it.
How much energy you have left.
Well, I mean, you could just relax by the pool, or you know what? Let's go for more. Round two. Right. Let's go back to Batu.
So on going with the flow, once you're on Star Cruiser, it's such difficult advice to take, but go with the flow if you can. Everybody gets so excited. I'm going to go this path. And we were completely guilty of this the first time. I remember our friend group just like freaking out, like, well, which path do we go down? I want to go down this path, but I want to do this over here, and I want to see it all, and I want to do it all. And we've talked about it. It's impossible. You cannot do it all. But on that, there's handfuls of things that are happening. There's your structured itinerary that's going on. And then there's these kind of, they're not structured, they're not scheduled, interactions that you have with the cast. And so Corey Fraser said that his biggest regret was excusing himself from a character interaction in favor of doing bridge training. Totally didn't occur to me how potentially important that interaction could be. And I think that's incredibly important, because you know me, I love a schedule. If I've got something on my schedule, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so if somebody comes and tries to pull me from that, I'm like, no, I'm doing this. But doing that other thing, and that happened to us on this last voyage. I was supposed to go into a meeting. It was on my itinerary. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder, a character tapped me on the shoulder, said, can I talk to you in the sublight lounge? Actually, it wasn't even me. It was our daughter. You know, can you come with us to the sublight lounge? We go over there, had the coolest interaction experience that ended up playing out in a larger way later in the evening. And I don't know what happened in that scheduled meeting that I was supposed to be in, but I'm so glad that I diverged and just went with what was in the moment there.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's so when we went our first time, we were trying to do everything, do every mission, because we didn't know. And I think there, I saw some regrets of trying to do all the missions, or not getting to do all the missions type of thing. But I think that was our main objective the first time was to do all the missions. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the second time I was more go with the flow, because I was going for specific missions. So there was aspects of it that I personally was okay missing, you know, interactions, because I was going for a certain goal.
Yeah. But I feel like you were more rigid this time though, because you wanted that goal.
Well, I mean, I was rigid on that. Like if there was missions to do with that specific Jedi path, I was doing it.
You were like, get out of my way.
Exactly.
To me, not to anybody. Yeah.
But I was doing that. But as far as interacting with other characters, I would interact with them, but I didn't let it deviate my plan.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of those things that, because I knew I was going to possibly miss out on things. Yeah. I mean, I was with the flow. I wasn't with the flow, but sometimes the characters may sway you.
Yes.
Because like our first visit, we kind of had an idea of what we wanted to do, what we kind of thought we knew.
Right.
And we were just like enthralled by Wraith.
Yeah. Charmed. Completely charmed by him.
And then our second trip, even though I was trying to go the Jedi path, Croy was such a good character that I wanted to hang out with him.
He's magnetic. And I kept getting First Order missions. I don't did I go first order? I might have. I kept getting first order missions. He had me doing stuff on Batu. I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I get back to the ship. He's like, meet me over here. I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. But man, looking back, I wish I had.
Yeah. No, I mean, and it's, you know, there's so many characters there and they play them so well. They play these characters so well that you just get so like involved in that story that even if you're intending to go one way, you may be swayed another way and go on this other journey that you didn't know. And it sometimes ends up better because it's organic. You're not forcing it.
And it's surprising because you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of, I don't know exactly the right advice to give on that. Yes, go with the flow. Maybe have some expectations going into it, but know that it could change. But in terms of physically preparing yourself and your costumes, we, the second time, dressed like Jedi because you wanted the Jedi path.
Yeah. I was stacking the deck.
You were big time. What if, and I was dressed like a Jedi too. I had my like Ahsoka bounds on. What if I had gone first order? Like your costume does play into, I think, kind of signaling to the cast what direction you want to go in. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but if you're wanting to go a certain path or if you're wanting to, you know, lean light or dark, your costuming does have an impact on that. So I think I already mentioned Corey Fraser, but he had another comment. He said that one of his other regrets was slightly disjointed costuming. Dinner outfit didn't really match the non-dinner outfit. Really loved all the costumes. It just unintentionally was two different characters and didn't realize it, which that can happen.
Yeah.
But it's part of the fun of prepping for Star Cruiser is like, who am I going to be? What does that person wear?
Yeah. I think the aspect of wearing a costume that automatically signals to the characters that you're wanting to play. And like you're saying, going more Jedi robes or scoundrel or real, you know, formal, you know, first order, it kind of signals maybe what path you want to go. And it may help the characters kind of guide you to that path.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as far as, having it not so disjointed, I think that's more of based on you and your comfort level. Because I know I'm always trying to go comfortable. So first trip, second, I'm always like, what's the most comfortable for me? And like, let me modify it. And so my first trip was inspired by Lando and Han. Second, again, I was stacking that deck trying to go Jedi, but it was like, I want to be comfortable.
Right.
And I knew that we were going to have a Batu day. So I baked in a very linen-y, comfortable.
Hot Batu day. Those three suns were blazing.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that was another regret, you know, some people had was just not realizing really like how hot it is and having a costume, a quote unquote costume for that. Because they want to, you know, they want to stay in character during that trip. And we have to find like something comfortable. And, you know, a lot of space stuff is usually layers.
Lots of layers, lots of boots and leather. Yeah. And yeah.
That was like another regret people had were wearing boots.
I think it was boots, but it was more of like testing out your costumes, like do test runs with your costumes, make sure everything's comfortable. There were lots of blisters mentioned as regrets. So make sure your shoes are broken in. Me personally, I regret getting dressed up night two for dinner because we went very early on our first voyage. And so we all still thought there was this like big gala and we thought it was supposed to be this really dressed up event. And so I bought a full length gown, gold, wore heels, everything. And then my butt's trying to like all around this ship, trying to like go to these different missions. And I felt like a baby giraffe or something trying to like toddle around. I know how to wear heels, but when you're in space, it's a little harder to wear heels. Let me put it that way. So think about that too. Just be comfortable. Like be comfortable. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And be ready to move.
And I think the thing is not to like, go away from like the formal clothing, but finding something that's comfortable enough that you're able to, or even, you know, I know there was like kind of the regret of changing, having too many outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just finding a way to maybe like put on a shawl or something to make it formal looking and then be able to take it off and it's more relaxed. So I think it's being a little bit creative with the costume to get you where you're wanting to, you know, it to look and get you that feel. But yeah, as far as like the having that costume that's consistent, I think it does. It just helps you stay in character if you're going to be like a scoundrel, to have like a consistent scoundrel costume, or if you're a Jedi, kind of a consistent Jedi feel your entire weekend.
Right. And that's a good point. You calling that out, like you're dressed in character, you're in character. Yes, you absolutely are a character on Star Cruiser. The cast, the crew, fellow passengers are going to treat like you are part of the story. And one of the larger regrets that I saw was getting into it and interacting with the cast. And I don't know if that's from a level of being like introverted or maybe just like, when is it my turn? When do I get to go? But Chris Davis, he says, I didn't insert myself enough. I waited for the story to come to me instead of going to the story. And that was his biggest regret.
I feel like this is where the introvertness. So let me take it from here.
Are you taking over? Are you extroverting me out of this?
but no, I think Star Cruiser is kind of, it was built to be a safe space. And it's kind of a testament to it that they are people that with, you know, with the regrets of being, you know, self-admitted introverts saying, I wish I would have spoken up more. And I think the fact that it's not to just say that I wish I would have spoken up more, but it's knowing that I could have spoken up and I didn't, and I chose not to, but now I regret, like there's just kind of that battle within themselves. Like, you know what? I felt safe enough that maybe next time I will. And I think, again, that's just a testament of how they've made it a safe space. And I think that comes from it being, you know, a more intimate setting. You know, it's not Disney World where it's like full of people, jam-packed, waiting in lines. It's more, you know, relaxed in there.
Yep.
The character interactions are not forced. So you're not, I need to talk to them. It's based on the guests. Like you could go talk to them. You know, if you're just standing there having a drink or, you know, having a chat, the characters will come up to you and interact with you. So it doesn't ever feel forced.
No.
And I think it's just a beautiful thing that people can feel comfortable enough to say, you know what? Even if it is a mask, you know, like if it's something where it's like, I want to be this character. In my head, I wish I was the Jedi and, you know, brave and I could do this and I could do that. You could feel comfortable enough that you could put on this mask, this persona and be this hero that you want to be and not necessarily let it, you know, you sit in the corner and just kind of imagine these things. You could actually live it out.
Yeah. You're going to make me cry, dude. I'm not even introverted, but just like the thought that something out there exists like this for people that do love Star Wars and they can be a little bit more of themselves or just pretend to be an action figure in a playset for a couple of days. And you can do that. But in real life, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of comments on not necessarily not feeling comfortable, but just like not pushing themselves to interact more. But then some people thought they were just being polite by not interacting more. So Keith Davis, he says, my biggest regret was talking too little with the cast. We thought we were being polite by not distracting them, later realizing we missed out on some potentially cool interactions.
Yeah. I mean, we were very fortunate the first time whenever we were not speaking to characters, the cast members were, you know, speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And because we were in character and kind of, this is wanting to tell our story.
Right.
That's when we learned that the cast members have their own stories.
Mm-hmm. The crew members.
The crew members.
Not just like the cast of characters that are there, but literally every single person. They don't call it janitorial services. What do they call it? Oh, I forget the name of it. Somebody please comment because it's completely escaping my mind. But they have the people that are cleaning up after you, the people that are working at passenger services, the people that are running bridge training, every single one of them has a backstory.
Yeah. And so it was almost like after we learned that, we wanted to talk to each cast member to, like, where were you from? Because, you know, they're from Ryloth or from Coruscant or, you know, Corellia or whatever, like wherever they were saying. But it was just cool because you're like, oh, they each have their own backstory or how long they've been on the ship, where, you know, how they be, you know, came onto the ship. So it was like super cool to hear all these other small backstories from, yeah, from the cast members.
And I would say this, if you are not knowing how to insert yourself necessarily, or you have downtime in between, hang out in the atrium, because it feels like the atrium is like the heart of Star Cruiser. So there's characters coming through, there's the crew members coming through. Like, if you sit there long enough, you're either going to, one, see something that's happening, or two, get pulled into something that's about to happen.
Yeah.
I think those, that would be my advice, especially if you're introverted. Like, if you just hang out in the atrium long enough, an opportunity will present itself to you. But moving on from talking to the, you know, interacting with the cast, interacting with the crew members, you also have your fellow passengers that are there to play with you. Sometimes they're good interactions, and then sometimes they're not so good interactions. So Peter, I'm going to mess up this name, I'm so sorry. Let's say Peter S. Maybe controversial, I regret not being prepared for the reality that a handful of other cruisers would be selfish and monopolizing time with characters. There were probably 4 to 7 people who were consistently completely overbearing in ensuring they got their FaceTime in with the characters to the point that other people on the cruise were visibly frustrated. He goes into more detail about it, but that can happen.
Yeah.
On the opposite end of the spectrum from being introverted, you can have people that are just like, this is my story. I am the main actor in this story.
Yeah, the main character. It's a very difficult one, because whenever we talk about it, and again, a lot of people have regrets of not being able to interact. This is the, like you said, very much opposite, where there are people trying to get with them, with these main characters, and you can't get that FaceTime.
Right. Peter didn't call it out in his comment, but I will say he did not name the age of those people, because kids, and we saw it a little bit on both of our voyages, but there are some kids that are just like, they don't understand, hey, there's other people here too. Like, give everybody a chance. They see a mission, they are told to go do something, and they will stop at nothing to accomplish that mission. And I think that's something to take into consideration too, is that, yeah, you might have this group of kids running around trying to, you know, usurp your plans because that's what they're being told to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a very fair point. I'm kind of conflicted on it, because there's an aspect of it where in my head I'm thinking, I want to be that main character. I want to be the one that's interacting with everything. But on that same point, am I going to be the one to help, you know, get that story going and give, you know, kind of put my all into it? And realistically, I don't know if I could. I could be a side character and kind of like, okay, I'm helping the rebellion, but I don't know if I could be the one to say, hey, let's do this, let's do that type of thing. So, you know, there's that aspect of it too, of like, I want to do that and I wish I could do that, but can I really do that?
Yeah. And I mean, you don't have to. That's the beauty of it.
It's like, and I think that's the thing too, is like, it's based off of how much interaction that you're doing. I think if you are in that situation and if you feel like you have complete control of it, remember that there are other guests and they want to be able to interact with characters too. So don't try to monopolize all the time. I think that may be advice to those that, you know who to talk to, when to talk to them. You know, you could still be there and kind of like be in the background. Hey, tell them to do this, but let somebody else kind of have that, you know, shining moment.
I like that. Teamwork makes the galactic dream work.
Yeah.
There you go. So, okay. I think that's good on the interactions, but one thing that we haven't touched on yet is your Batu excursion. So going to Batu as part of Star Cruiser is a little bit different. You have certain missions that you need to do. You have objectives to do while you're on Batu. But Galaxy's Edge is something that you can go experience outside of visiting Star Cruiser. And so there were some regrets about spending too much time there. There are some missions that you can do on your data pad that aren't related to your Star Cruiser missions. And sometimes they're hard to tell which ones are Star Cruiser related and what aren't. So just be conscious of that. You may end up down a rabbit hole of like scanning too many crates that you didn't need to scan.
Well, yeah, I think the interesting thing is they still allow you, they consider it like a park day, right? Mm-hmm. Disney still considers it like a park day. So you can schedule lightsabers, you can schedule a droid, you can schedule an Ogus. That's a lot of things, like extra activities that don't necessarily advance that experience for Star Cruiser.
Right.
It's great if you had more time. If you had like that extra day of just Batuu, it would be perfect.
To do all that stuff on a different park day.
Yeah. No, like if Batuu excursion was a complete entire day.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Like if it was just like one whole day in the middle of it. But the thing is like it's not, if it's one whole day, then what's the point of having
the Star Cruiser?
Star Cruiser.
Yeah.
But if it was that type of situation, I would say I would recommend, yes, go try to do these things. But yeah, as far as the, I enjoy the way they've done the missions, mm-hmm. because it doesn't cut off one or the other. It's very like intermingled. So when you're on Batuu, they have those certain missions, but then whenever you're doing Star Cruiser, it adds on to it. Yes, it may be a little confusing, but you could,
there's like a filter in there, right?
Yeah, you could figure out what the missions are. And again, they could make it a little bit more clearer. So that was like, hey, these are, you know, Star Cruiser missions and these are just normal Batuu missions.
Yeah.
But I would definitely recommend to do those missions.
Don't
dismiss them, because that's how you get experience. Like you get stuff, you get rewards on
later Star Cruiser. In the day. Yeah.
So like make sure you do them. But yeah, I think that would be my recommendation, you know, for Batuu is hopefully it's not your only visit, your only visit to Batuu. You have like a day after type of thing, kind of back to the other regret, do it a day after or day before. But do your missions, go ride your rides and get back on the Halcyon.
Yeah. Listen to Steven. That would be my advice too, though. So one person said that they had that same regret. They said, Carrie Copeland said, I regret spending time at Ogus Cantina. I had never been. I could have done a breeze through to see it and then out. Not big on standing to wait 15 minutes for a drink in a loud place. And we experienced this, but it was longer than 15 minutes. We've been to Galaxy's Edge many times. We've been to Ogus many times. But on our first voyage, we were going with a big group of people. And so we were like, let's all go to Ogus so that we know that we're in one place at the same time. We can all have a drink together. Never mind the fact that we have Sublight Lounge at the Star Cruiser. We were like, we're all going to go do Ogus together. Well, we were a big group. We were over 12 people. And Ogus doesn't seat parties larger than like four or five together. They won't guarantee it. So we ended up waiting, I think, about 45 minutes to even get into Ogus. And then by the time we got in there, we just sat with our four family members.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, we wasted over an hour of our Batuu morning doing something we could have done like 2 days later.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest difference, and we've kind of talked about this before, is Ogus has a different feel than Sublight. Mm-hmm. Sublight, I mean, you could still go in there, have drinks, hang out, but it's kind of, it's loungy, right? Yeah. You feel, you know, more, it's more,
you gotta like sit back up a little straighter too. Yeah.
But Ogus is like kind of that hole in the wall, you know,
it's a bar. Yeah, yeah.
It's
cantina.
So it's a different feel. So if your thing is not to be in a loud crowd type of thing, then yes, I would say don't go to Ogus. Ogus is a great time. You know, you could hang out, sing some songs and get excited. But on that Batuu, or if it's part of Star Cruiser, I wouldn't recommend, just because it's a time issue as far as like you having to do missions and do your rides and get back on Star Cruiser.
An alternative, obviously, to Ogus Cantina, like you said, is the Sublight Lounge. There was a surprising amount of people that were like, I wish I'd eaten all the snacks at Sublight Lounge, which there is like a small menu. They're free snacks that you can order at any time. I don't think we've worked through the full menu anyway, but this one, This regret stood out to me the most because I felt this very deeply. Buck Knight says, I didn't try enough of the Sublight Lounge bites. I don't know how I could have possibly managed it with all the other things I ate, but I wish I had tasted everything. This also applies to the drink tasting event on day two, which isn't advertised. Yeah, dude, they feed you so good on Star Cruiser. Yeah. Like, I think we forced ourselves to order some of the Sublight Lounge snacks one night because we're like, we need to eat them.
Yeah.
But they feed you so good. Like, you're never hungry there.
Well, I think that's the thing is, like, we were making it a point to try different things just to kind of, like, make sure we tried it. Yeah. But if you're going as just, like, I'm going to, you know, eat what I can type of thing, there's enough that you're not going to be hungry for more snacks, you know, later on.
Yeah.
And then too, when you go to a lounge, you're not necessarily like, oh, I'm hungry, let me eat some food. So
I heard the food here is really good.
So it's like, it's probably not the first thing, you know, the front of your mind, but, right. Yeah, I think definitely try it. Like whenever you're just like hanging out in there. But yes, I would definitely try that, the drink,
the fancy drink,
just like the drinks and Sublight,
the drink tasting.
Yeah,
we did
drink tasting.
Yeah. So there's this, like Buck said, it's not advertised. It's called Spirits of Adventure and you can sign up for it once you get on board. It's day two. It's like around lunchtime. I think ours was at 12:30 when we did it. It's an extra cost, but they brought out four of the drinks that are on the regular drink menu and they were, some of them were smaller, but they were mighty.
Well, and I think that's, so again, these are not special drinks. You could still order them. If you wanted to order each one of them off the menu, you're able to.
Right.
The interesting thing on it was, again, you have a story from a cast member, like how they got, onto Star Cruiser.
The chemist. Right.
And a story on each of the drinks.
And they drink with you.
And they drink. Well,
they teach you a special cheers and they drink some of the drink, like a tiny little bit, but it was really neat.
Yeah. So I think it's like, again, it's just kind of to feel that story instead of just here's your drinks, here's a, variety of them. Here's like little stories of where it came from, why it's called this or whatever.
Right. And it's very intimate. I think there were six people that participated in it. We were two of them.
Yeah.
And it's at the bar in the Sublight Lounge. It was very, very cool.
Yeah.
But in addition to the drink tasting, somebody brought up, like when I read this, I was like, oh my gosh, we have made this mistake twice on Star Cruiser. And why have we not learned from this mistake? Nikki says, I regret ordering special drinks with dinner if you're on the late sitting, which I would say for either one. She said, getting the drinks and paying took way too long when there were storyline events we needed to get to. Much easier and more fun to get drinks later in the lounge.
Yeah.
Just listen to Nikki. We give no advice. Yeah. Like, listen to Nikki.
That's the best tip, best advice is just hold off for dinner because, they've packed it where, dinner is, cut short or cut right on time because there's story elements, not because, they're obviously getting us out of there for the next, group, but they're going, have these story elements. And each time that we've gone to eat, it was always crap. Like we've got to pay. Here's my band. Like, okay, let's go. Cause like we got to go, we got story elements to go to.
I can't believe that we didn't think of that ourselves. We're like, oh, we can sit, we can drink, let's do it.
Yeah, I definitely went with like, I don't want my drink to go under this line attitude. So,
oh, and it was a good cruise. Okay, so one last thing that I think we should talk about is the cast members, the characters. There were a large amount of regrets around not taking pictures with the cast. So Elizabeth Baker says, I didn't take selfies with any of the characters after the finale because I just got a little overwhelmed. Later, I realized this would have been the time to have had some nice parting words with them as well, and I felt silly for missing out on that little bit of closure. So don't not do that. I agree. Our first voyage, we went into our first voyage knowing that we wanted to take pictures and videos of everything that we possibly could. But when you're in this story with the characters and everything is happening, it's difficult to stop long enough to be like, I know you're telling me something really cool and crucial. Can we just get a picture real quick? It's weird, right? Yeah. So end of night two is a great time to do that after things are starting to wrap up. But if you don't remember to do that, or if other passengers are doing that, you may not get that opportunity. But looking back on our first voyage, I had so many pictures. Like, I wanted to do like appreciation posts of all of our cast. I had like no pictures.
Well, it's almost if like you were attending a play and like day two is like that perfect, you know, they've done their standing ovation and now you get to meet these actors.
Right.
And I think that is the best time to go and show your appreciation, you know, throughout, you know, talk to the cast members and the crew, but the characters, I think that is the best time to go talk to them because that's when the last time you'll be able to see them.
And I don't know that you realize it because they're in character the entire time. Yeah. It's not like a play where
they
drop the act and they're just, you know, George, but it's, how do you say like, okay, now's the time to get a picture. It's difficult to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's the hard part is removing yourself. And because like when you're talking about taking pictures, like throughout your entire trip, both times that we've gone, we've intended on, you know, recording stuff, taking more pictures, but you get just so stuck. And I think that was some of the regrets that we saw were just not taking enough pictures.
There was somebody who was like, I only have pictures of my food.
And it's because you start getting into the story that your first reaction is not to pull out the camera and start recording. So like, thank goodness for like ordinary adventures, like recording everything because, you know, like he has that like commitment to say, you know what, let me record.
And it's attached. That camera is attached all the time in Peter's hand.
So it's like the fact that he has the commitment to like, you know, let me pull that out and start recording and still do.
He's still involved too.
So I think that's like the thing is like me, I'm like a little kid, like, oh, what's going on? Start, you know, lightsabers. Ooh, like not even paying attention to what's going on.
Glowing lights.
So I think that's like a very difficult one. But I think that kind of, that's where I wish they would change the CSL and the memory maker portion of photos is like how awesome would it be if there was candid photographers while these missions are going on, these activities are going on, and they're just taking, you know, candid photos of, you know, the characters interacting with guests.
Yeah.
Because these are like promo, you know, pictures. Like just keep snapping them, because eventually you'll get one with you and a character, right?
Yeah.
So just have that be like part of the memory maker. So it's big crowd shots, you know, the difference. And these are just like good memories to just take back with you.
To make?
Memory makers. Oh my God. That's why they call it that.
Genius.
but
yeah, like on the kids' lightsaber training, Lothcat crew training, they have a memory maker photographer in there to take candid pictures and then to take stage pictures afterwards. And I think they do this on cruises. One day you and I will get on a cruise and we'll find out for sure for research. But I think they do those candid pictures on cruises. Why not? I don't think people would have a problem paying $400 for a photo package if they got candid pictures in there as well.
I think if it had more like photos, then yes. But I think it's still a difficult amount to pay, I think.
It's a lot of money on top of a lot of money that you're already spending.
Yeah.
But it would be so great to have those memories and not just pictures of your blue shrimp.
Yeah. And I think there was, if I recall, there was someone that had a regret about the CSL photos.
Yeah, there were a couple that were on there. It was around like the timings that like not having availability to the bridge or, you know, just figuring out the timing of their portraits.
And I think because you're paying a larger amount, that should be a part of like your session.
Yeah.
Right. If you are saying you want this session, then you can only take pictures in these areas.
Right.
These particular areas. So these other ones are, you know, again, there was areas that were off limit to us and we were okay with it, but it would have been nice to have known ahead of time, hey, if you're going to pick this time, these areas are off limits.
Yeah. Or like you said, if it was just this one big beefy, like a memory maker, but there's more photographers throughout taking more candid pictures. So while you're doing bridge training or while you're doing lightsaber training, can you imagine if we had pictures of us?
Yeah.
I'm not going to look cool, but I would love to have a picture of me holding a lightsaber.
Yeah. That's to me, it should be a memory. Like there should be someone taking pictures because we have, you know, some videos of us from behind and, you know, at a certain little angle, but they're kind of keeping you moving.
Right.
It's a missed opportunity. Yeah, it's frustrating because I would love to have a picture of me holding a lightsaber.
Yeah.
In action, you know, giving
a moment.
In the moment.
You're not like posing like a CSL portrait experience. Yeah. Like you're just like, I feel the force and you've got your lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's a missed opportunity. Disney, listen to us. This is what we want.
Yeah. No, I think if we could have those candid, it would be incredible.
Soon. Watch. Mark our words. This is going to happen.
Okay.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll look into my crystal ball. But I do think that that's a good place to wrap up this discussion. It was a lot of really good feedback though, right? It's not.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When you were telling me that you're thinking about this idea of asking about people's regrets, I was definitely like scared, nervous that like it was going to be opening up the floodgates. But yeah, I think it was a pretty good feedback. So
but yeah, that's a really good point. If you are not part of the Facebook groups for Star Cruiser, our good friend Dano and I run a good amount of Facebook groups. It's growing every single day, it feels like. But they are fantastic resources for costuming, for tips, for planning, for sharing your collective sadness after you disembark from Star Cruiser. So I will drop links for all of those in the description of this episode. And also, if you are watching this on YouTube and you see Stephen's sweet, sweet shirt that he is wearing, it is from our Mosh Eisley sponsor, Roosevelt's. They make fantastic button downs for all of your favorite fandoms. And if you are interested in getting 20% off of your first online order, you can go to rsvlts.com and use the code SCOUNDREL for 20% off of your first order.
Princess and Scoundrel is part of the Think the Maker Network. So if you've been keeping up with Andor, make sure you go check out the guys at Think the Maker and Mike Forster at Armor Party.
Until next time.